This is Ramsey Radio, the farming and farm machinery podcast from Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ramsey Radio, the podcast for farmers about farming from your friendly team at Ramsey Brothers. Tim Glover here as your host and excited today that we're talking about a subject that seems to be on everyone's lips and mind at the moment, and that's soil amelioration. A subject that has everything to do with the grain production and obviously farm productivity. And we're going to delve a little bit deeper into exactly what are the specifics of soil amelioration and the best ways to go about them and the pitfalls to look out for when you are having a crack at your soil. Very excited to welcome our special guest today, agronomist Matt Howe from Platinum Ag Services.
No worries, Tim. Thanks very much for having me today. So, yeah, I'm a commercial agronomist based in the upper southeast of South Australia, and I travel basically from Taylor Bend to Tintinara and back across to the coastline of the Coorong.
Fantastic, mate. And no doubt there's always plenty going on in your world.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to stop here. We're a pretty lucky area. We run 12 months of the year down here. So between cropping, well, broadacre cropping in winter and livestock the whole time, and then we've got a fair whack of summer irrigation down here too. So it doesn't seem to stop too often.
Yeah, it's a pretty productive area, and no doubt, mate, like the rest of us, 2021's thrown plenty of challenges your way and the way of the growers.
Yeah, yes, it certainly has. The late start has definitely made life interesting, and then increased fertiliser pressure and COVID tax on just about everything, and COVID timelines and shipping out of international ports has made life very challenging at times, but we're getting there. We're on the home stretch now.
I think the good thing about the ag game is, we play the cards that we're dealt because we don't have a choice and we just get on with it.
Yeah, I look outside agriculture and look into hospitality or tourism, and I'm pretty bloody happy. I work in agriculture at the moment.
Absolutely. Matt, one of the big topics of recent times is soil amelioration. Before we get into too much detail about some other things, let's in a nutshell just get a bit of an understanding from your perspective as a qualified agronomist.
Yeah, so soil amelioration is an interesting term. It refers to just about anything we can do to change the soil chemical or physical structure to benefit for crops going forward. So I think the key with soil amelioration is to start by looking at your own place and looking at the soil constraints on your own farm. So for us, we've got multiple levels of soil constraints down here in the upper southeast. We're dealing with everything from water repellents to soil acidity, to soil compaction, to deep bands of clay, to deep bands of limestone. So the variability of soils and how that affects soil amelioration is probably the first thing you need to consider, because every different limiting constraint on a soil needs to be treated or handled slightly differently to get the best possible result for soil amelioration.
One of the things that we hear more often than not is, I've got clay, I need to get it into the topsoil area. But it is true that not all clay needs to come to the surface, mate. Some clay is better off laying where it rests.
Yeah, there are different issues associated with clay, but as a general rule, clay is king. So clay gives us the ability to hold moisture and hold nutrients within the soil profile. So if we can evenly distribute that through a soil profile, for me, I deal with a lot of sands over clay. So the more clay we can get up through the profile and to the surface, it deals with a lot of our limiting constraints, particularly water repellents, which is one of our number one constraints we deal with.
And I guess obviously the issues are going to be different depending on what area we're working with.
Oh, definitely. There's variation between the paddock, let alone different soil types in different regions, and different rainfall patterns make a big difference on how you can handle the different soils. So, yeah. When you're talking amelioration, looking and deciding what you're actually trying to achieve before you go and stick a machine in the paddock is the key detail.
And no doubt when I look at some of the work the GRDC has been doing, you know, there's a number of those research-based organisations that have spent a lot of time working with different suppliers on coming up with the ideal intervention, if you like, to tackle the amelioration issue.
Yeah, definitely. You look at the large grower research groups, particularly MacKillop Farm Group or Mallee Sustainable Farming, and they've done plenty of work in the last 10 years around soil amelioration and its fit in the farming system and the economic return you can get from it. So most soil amelioration in these areas nowadays began its life as research projects out in the mallee areas or down in the southeast in the Sandover clay.
Yeah, and interestingly, land is becoming harder and harder to get. You know, we're getting well into the practice of minimum till or no till, you know, which is obviously, you know, a paradigm shift from the way that it was done many, many decades ago. You know, so the need to get more out of the land that we've got and I guess in some instances bring, you know, dormant land that might have been grazed but hasn't really been cropped is where we're seeing a real surge in the amelioration space.
Oh, definitely. And any land that has a limited level of production due to soil constraints, we can gain big improvements for minimal cost. So guys get hung up on the fact that it does cost you a couple of $100 a hectare to ameliorate a soil. But when you start talking between, I don't know, $2,000 to $5,000 an acre to buy more land nowadays, double that times 2.47 to get it back to a hectare price and improving the land you've got becomes very economic very quickly. Plus the competitive nature of buying land at the moment makes it almost impossible to get a foot in the door.
Yeah, there's no doubt that we've seen, you know, I mean, land is now is fetching record prices, premium prices. And it doesn't seem to matter what part of the state you're in.
No, we've seen grazing country that 10 years ago would have gone for $550 an acre to, well, it's going to blow through $2,000 an acre this year, I think, once some of the local farms that are on the market now sell. It's just so much competition coming from people that aren't traditional buyers in these areas. They're just seeing the rainfall and the opportunity and coming to have a go.
Yeah, and I guess it's all magnified again this year when we look at where grain prices are, the returns that you can get from actually improving what you've got all of a sudden look pretty good.
Oh, definitely. Like canola at $900 a tonne, it doesn't take many kilos to cover off anything you want to do.
And interestingly enough, you know, they're talking 5 to 10 year sustainability. So, you know, over that period of time, amelioration all of a sudden becomes a pretty big thing if you can get a better return and boost your yield.
Oh, definitely. It's interesting, though, people want to look at the longer term, but most amelioration processes pay for themselves within 1 to 2 years because the yield gains are so significant. Like as a commercial agronomist, during the in-season part of the year, I can't really give any farmer who gets his nutrition and his chemicals and his timing about right, I can't give him more than between 5% and 7%. Whereas you look at the amelioration, and that's where the big gains are going to be made going forward. You can put another ton to the hectare on a 3 to 4 ton crop without too many dramas if you get your amelioration right.
From my perspective, but I'm sure from your perspective also, you know, the thing with amelioration is we're working with what's there. It's a mechanical intervention into you know, what Mother Nature's put in the soil, good, bad, or indifferent. But what we can do with that mechanical intervention all of a sudden is create, you know, I guess that as close as we can get to that ideal scenario in terms of microbial activity and nutrient availability, oxygen in the soil, touched on getting rid of that non-wetting issue and those sort of things. So, you know, it's not a highly expensive chemical intervention. It literally is a mechanical intervention.
Yeah, exactly. The mechanical intervention in a single pass can open up soils, reduce a lot of the constraints, but it does make chemical changes within the soil and it increases the water availability, increases the nutrient availability within the soil, which if you picture it like a bucket, if you can make a bigger bucket, you can hold more. Like we're having limited rainfall for the last 4 years. We haven't hit our average down here in the last four seasons. So, we've grown some of our biggest possible crops we've ever grown before. And that's by focusing on our soil structure and our soil amelioration to increase our bucket size to get a better utilisation of the water that does fall.
Absolutely. It's no doubt exciting times. And as I said, more and more people are now starting to realise the value of it. Most people's idea of soil amelioration is I need to either delve or deep rip. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you're right. It is a bigger picture, but delving and deep ripping have been established for probably the last 10 to 15 years as the go-to methods of amelioration. So South Australia, down around that Keith border town area, they've been delving since the buddy Zebras walked off the ark. So those guys understand what's going on, and it really did change the ball game down there. Made some massive production changes, turned it into a highly profitable agricultural area. And then you look at Western Australia, they've been deep ripping for the last 15 to 20 years, opening up their soils, gaining much higher yields because we're accessing deeper moisture. So they are widely proven. But in the last 5 to 10 years, there's been heaps of research done within South Australia that has shown the benefits of different types of amelioration, whether we're talking inversion ploughing, spading, deep ripping topsoil inclusion, deep ripping fertiliser banding, or just shallow clay tine delving.
That's given us a bit of an understanding from a well-renowned agronomist, I'll say. Hallie, your reputation precedes you. So it's always good to get a qualified opinion and get some clarity around what soil amelioration will be. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Matt about the Bednar Terraland, which we sell here at Ramsey Brothers and has been doing some fantastic things. So back with you shortly.
Bednar Terraland TO, the name to remember for soil renovation. Exclusively available through Ramsey Brothers, why settle for a machine that works on one dimension? Do more in one pass. Increase oxygen supply and remove hard pans. Mix and combine topsoil for better structure and nutrient availability. Increase root growth and microbial activity and improve moisture retention. Bednar Terraland TO, it's a ripper. Call Ramsey Brothers for more. Ramsey Brothers, partnering farmers since 1950.
Welcome back. We're talking today to Matt Howe from Platinum Ag Services. I wanted to move on now to something that we as a machinery dealer have obviously looked at. We're talking about the Bednar Terraland. It's a machine that as a dealer we've been very impressed by. And it was something we put some due diligence into and tried to come up with something that we thought ticked more boxes than just one. Matt, let's have a quick chat about the Terraland. As I said, you've had some experience with it, and you actually had some experience with the machine prior to Ramsey Brothers taking it on. What are your thoughts, you know, to date on what you've seen with the Terraland?
Yeah, so I first saw the Bednar Terraland over in Oyen at the deep rip-off put on by AgriVision and the GRDC. So as soon as we saw the machine over there, we were quite impressed by it. And then I was sitting around having a couple of quiet hours with Hamish Ward one afternoon, and he said, well, we've just become agents for it. So I said, turned around to Hamish and said, beautiful, bring a couple down, we'll have a look at them. We've been looking for a solution for some of our soil compaction and soil amelioration issues for probably 5 to 6 years, and we've trialled various machines. We've tried everything from straight shank rippers to curved tine to some of the more obscure inversion ploughs and moldboards and spaders, and we keep coming back to the versatility for the different soil types we're working with is the biggest limitation. We can't get enough hectares to run these machines over. So then we, back in middle of April 2020, Tim and Hamish brought one down for us. We had a play and had a couple of clients dragging around for a few days. And we had a look at the results in year one, and it's pretty hard to argue with them when we're getting some pretty good handy yield gains.
I should start by putting a bit of a disclosure in here, Matt. Ramsey Brothers is the South Australian distributor for Bednar. But just to make it clear, you're not commercially associated with them, as in Bednar or Ramsey Brothers. You are literally just our friendly neighbourhood agronomist. And I think that's important because your impartiality in this whole situation, I think, just needs to be made clear. So from your grower's perspective, surely they've got to be impressed with A, the direction that you've given, or the advice that you've given them, but also seeing those tangible results of how much of a difference a machine can make.
Yeah, definitely. So the first strips we put in with the Bednar, and this is before we learned how to really set the machine up and use it properly, we were just impressed with the versatility and the results it gave across different soil types. So we took it in that first week, we took it straight into heavy clays. We took it right into sand over clay. We took it into deep sand. We took it into clayed sands. We took it before we started buying them. And while Ramsey still owned it, we dragged it off a sand ridge and straight into a limestone outcrop to see what it'd do. And then, yeah, we were pretty impressed with how it handled it all and the results we were getting and how it looked. So I tend to travel around with a penetrometer and a shovel on my ute the whole time, and I My clients call me the wombat because I'm fat and dig lots of holes. And it was bloody good. We could see in the soil the changes it was making. We could feel the reduction in compaction strength or soil strength. And we could see straight from those first few days the benefits we were going to get from it.
Yeah, you know, I think going back to that visual thing, once germination's established, it's pretty amazing to see how much difference it actually makes just visually, look, you know, inspecting a crop.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You can see clear lines in paddocks where the bednar went versus where it didn't go this year and last year and this year. So we can definitely see the benefits in biomass growth, and it does translate into yield on the yield maps on headers. The other thing, and that's why I'm interested to see how this year goes, because this year is a remarkably different season to last season. Last year we had rain at the right times for most of the season. We had a pretty handy year. This year it's been a far more challenging season. We've had bugger all rain for August and September down here, and two really wet months in June and July. So we've had to live on subsoil moisture for nearly 2.5 months now, and that's been a big indicator on how well the bednar has opened up that soil profile, because it's just like if you go and dig a hole out there now, it's just a huge proliferation of roots right down to sort of 600 mils of depth. Whereas you go to where we didn't take the bednar in some of these compacted sands, and there it goes down to 200 mils and then it stops. There's no root growth below that. So that opening up the bigger bucket means we've set our yield potential higher on those areas, and we've got a viable crop there, whereas in some of the other stuff, we've got crops that have been trying to die since probably early September, and they're holding on by the bare skin of their teeth at the moment. Hopefully this bit of rain last few days will help, but we'll see.
That's the, yes, with all the discussion we've had, that's the key, isn't it? It's what's happening under the soil.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it's only getting more and more evident as we get these more varied seasons.
Yeah. We've had discussions for years around what's a normal season and when we're going to go back to the normal season. And if anyone that's listening can give me the answer, you know, just shoot me an email at tglover@ramseybross.com.au. But I think that's the big thing, Matt, is the variability that we're seeing for whatever reason. It is what it is. So, you know, mitigating where we can, you know, some of those risk factors with that variability, and creating the opportunity to maximise what we can has got to be paramount.
Oh, definitely. But even if you look at it from a pure economics point of view, we're spending so much to grow a crop nowadays. We can't afford to have this 10 to 20% of land that we're spending the same amount on not returning for us. So why not improve that land and get the return up?
And I'm going to throw a really contentious one in here before we I just wanted to touch base on there's huge pressures globally now on chemical, but more significantly, obviously, China has poked up again. Is there some advantages here that, you know, in a market where some of our normal commodities may not be available, that the bednar actually can rise to, and short of getting some of the products that we need, you may be able to boost what you've got by carrying out some amelioration?
Well, I don't think we're going to have too many limitations on whether we're actually going to be able to get the fertiliser or chemical. Most of it's on the water already coming to us. But what we don't know is what the landed price is going to be, particularly for any nitrogen-based fertiliser. So if you're looking at an increase of cost per hectare for next year, well, then you've got to maximise the potential return per hectare to get that margin over your input cost up as high as possible. Because you're going to spend the same amount per hectare generally, because guys will manage stuff as paddocks or blocks, not per hectare. Like the variable rate thing, it's coming, but it's not all there. It's not widely used technology. So why not improve that weaker land to get your potential higher yield to dilute the cost side of things going forward? And the bednar is just going to be one tool of many that's used to do that over the next 12 months.
One of the things that really struck me when we looked at the bednar was the fact that it is not just a machine that is single dimension. So it's not just a ripper, it's not just a delver. From your perspective as an agronomist, just run us through where the bednar stands out from some of the other offerings on the market, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So that was the big attraction for us once we got the bednar here and tried it ourselves, was the versatility of the machine. So as you know, down here, we've got multitude of different soil types, and Like we could get an agro plough or a straight torn shank ripper to come in and deep rip sands where it's wettable, but it didn't do anything about non-wetting sand. Or you can set up a delver to lift clay from between 500 and 800 mils, but it absolutely destroys the soil profile, lifts a heap of clay, and it costs you another couple hundred dollars a hectare to knock it back into shape. And when you're only trying to marginally improve country, that's a significant cost per hectare. So the advantage of the Bednar is that we could change the settings to suit our soil types or what job we're trying to do. So for me, we do a lot of shallow tine clay delving, but we're trying to also include lime in the same pass and mix it into the topsoil, because lime's far more efficient if you mix it into your topsoil. So we're able to do multiple jobs. We're lifting clay to reduce our non-wetting component of these soils, but we're getting lime down and mixed through the topsoil to reduce our soil acidity. So we're able to get that stacking of constraint benefits by using the Bednar. And then with the same machine, we can drop the mixing plates, the cutting wings, and the lifting slides. We can drop them off produce a narrow profile deep ripper, which we can drop straight into our deep wettable sands and remove compaction and leave a perfectly level seedbed that we can get tractors over without any problems.
Fantastic. What I touch on very quickly as we get towards the end of another episode, there's obviously in the discussion about amelioration, there's obviously soils around the place, Matt, that just don't need that level of amelioration, and it could be plain wrong. So in your perspective as an agronomist, what kind of soils are right for using a machine like the Bednar?
So if you want to pick the low-hanging fruit straight away, if you can find a sandy soil type with clay at between 400 and 500 mils and you've got plenty of horsepower, you can put a Bednar straight into it and turn it into really good cropping soil very quickly. But you've got other options such as using it in deep sands to remove the compaction layers and the hard pans. I've seen blokes use it in that Knaup and heavier loam soils to lift alkaline subsoil to help reduce soil acidity and increase the aeration deeper in the soil. Soils to definitely avoid would be anything with a lot of rock. Rock tends to break stuff and you don't want to bring it up to the surface if you can help it. But other than that, we've seen yield benefits across most soil types. So yeah, it's just your yield benefits are far more significant in certain soil types than there are in others.
Absolutely. To finish off with, Matt, I guess we'll move away from the Bednar a little bit and let's talk industry-wide. Your opinion, you're better off having a go and having a look at doing some sort of amelioration to obviously increase what you've got and what's under your feet?
Yeah, definitely. Like, get out there and dig some holes. Identify your constraints of why you've got stuff that isn't yielding properly. Every farmer knows his weak spots within a paddock, but most of them, they've never bothered to look at the why, or take that what you call marginal cropping country or grazing country, explore the limitations and bring it up to speed, and then you can actually get your maximum return out of it. Like, we've got so much underutilized country at the moment, and with current land prices skyrocketing, why not turn it into something better?
Matt, always good to catch up with you, and particularly appreciated your opinions today and understanding some of the science behind amelioration and, why it needs to be something that is on everyone's mind. So thanks for coming on Ramsey Radio, mate. As I said, really enjoyed the chat. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And to all of you, thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe to Ramsey Radio. Tell your friends. I'm Tim Glover, and I'll be back with another episode soon. And we look forward to catching up with you soon. Stay safe and take care.
You've been listening to Ramsey Radio, brought to you by Ramsey Brothers. Find this and all our podcasts on your preferred podcast app or on our website at ramseybros.com.au.